Welcome to the Victor Orlando Podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
I want to pray here this morning, and as we do, I just felt to read Psalms 91. If you've been struggling, maybe you've been a little worried, just kind of receive from the word of the Lord this morning. It says this, it says, "The one who lives under the protection of the Most High dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. So I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge, you are my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Let's just say loud right there and just tell him, God, you are my refuge, you are my fortress, you are the one in whom we trust. Yeah. It says, he himself will deliver you from the hunter's net and from the destructive plague. Y'all, there is an answer to everything we'll ever face in this life in the Word of God. Come on. He's going to deliver us from any destructive plague. He will cover you with his feathers. You will take refuge under his wings. His faithfulness will be a protective shield to you. Come on. You can't get better than this. You will not fear the terror of the night, the arrow that flies by day, the plague that stalks in the darkness, or the pestilence that ravages at noon. Though 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, the pestilence will not reach you. So it don't matter if Facebook says that, no. The pestilence is not going to reach us because we've made the Lord our refuge. You will only see it with your eyes and witness the punishment of the wicked because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High, your dwelling place. No harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent. For he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. They will support you with their hands, and you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and on the cobra. You will trample the young lion and the serpent. Because he is lovingly devoted to me, I will deliver him. This is the Lord promising us to us. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. And I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation. Come on. Let's give God some praise this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word, for your promise that it's true. Let's just, right where we are, if you can pray in the Holy Spirit, begin to stir yourself up. Let's just take a moment here and just pray over our nation, over our world, over our city. Lord, we just thank you right now for your protection over our nation, over our families, over our city. Lord God, I thank you for our president. He's declared this a national day of prayer. So we just join our faith right now with believers all around the world, all over our city, other churches. We pray over our friends, Pastor Jeremy at Sea Life, Pastor Moses at the Church of North Orlando, Pastor Damon down in Lake Nona area at City Life Church. Lord, I thank you. We pray with our friends at Action Church. Lord God, all over our city coming together in faith right now. We just declare you are Lord over all. You are Lord over Orlando. You are Lord over Florida. You are Lord over the United States of America. You are Lord over all this earth. So Lord, we just declare right now that your glory will be over this whole earth. Even in the midst of an outbreak, even in the midst of people saying doom and gloom, Lord, we declare your glory. We declare your praises. So Lord, right now, I just thank you for your blood, the blood of Jesus that covers us, that washes us, that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, that makes us whole, that restores us, Lord God. So I thank you. We just declare your blood over each and every person in this room and watching online, Lord God, right now. I thank you, Lord God, that your blood, that all you've done for us, Lord God, the stripes that you bore on your back were for our healing. So we just declare healing and health in our bodies in Jesus' name, that we will live a long life, that you will satisfy us, and we will see your salvation with these eyes here on this earth. So we just come against this foul spirit of fear right now. We come against the spirit of panic. We come against lies in the name of Jesus. We just declare healing and health to flood our country, to flood our families in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that in the days ahead that there would not be worry, there would not be panic, but that a spirit of faith would rise up inside of your people, inside of people that are far from you. Lord, I thank you for revival breaking forth. Let this be a time where the church shines the brightest. Lord God, where your name is lifted high, that all men would be drawn to you. And so I thank you for it, Lord God. I pray you give our leaders wisdom. Lord God, our federal leaders, our local leaders, Lord God, give them wisdom. Lord God, I pray for our hospital workers and our EMT. Lord God, that you surround them with protection. Lord God, that you keep them safe, that you keep them healthy and strong in Jesus' name. And we give you thanks, God. We give you glory. Come on, church, let's give them a shout of praise all across this room today. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. There's something about just being in the room, isn't it? Amen. I'm so thankful for technology and the ability for people to gather online. And, you know, we're so thankful for those ways and that we live in a day and time where we can do that. Isn't that amazing? But there's just something. There's just something about being in the room together. Come on. So while that's an option, it's not a replacement. You know, we recognize that, you know, with all that's going on in our world today, that, you know, there's issues going on. There's things that we can do. We're not pretending like, you know, there's not something happening. We know that there's issues out there. And so we're using wisdom. That's why we've made some of our adjustments today. Hopefully you guys washing your hands good. Come on. I don't know if y'all knew this, but the answer to coronavirus was already in the Bible. It's in James. It says, wash your hands and cleanse yourself. Okay. I got to give you one pastor joke about it. All right. You guys know how it is. We're going to laugh a little bit because a merry heart is good like a medicine, right? But a dry spirit is damaging all the way to the bones. Come on. So we're not going to be fearful or worried. In fact, science has proven that the more worried and anxious a person is, it actually breaks down our immune system. So, you know, we're just going to laugh a little bit more. We're going to rejoice a little bit more. And God is going to move in great ways. And, you know, so we're gonna do the best we can in communication in the days ahead. And, you know, I just encourage you, everywhere you go, there's going to be people talking and saying all kinds of things. And people are welcome to do those things. We're just going to interject faith into those situations. And if people are willing to just kind of continue those dialogues, we're just going to remove ourselves from those places. We're not pretending like there's not an issue. We're going to use wisdom. We're going to listen to those that have been put in authority, but we're also going to realize that the word of God is greater than anything else. We're going to be people of faith, and we're not going to be people of fear. So I just encourage you. I want to just stir up your faith today. And so I've got a word for us today as we kind of begin to navigate through these waters of, you know, coronavirus and all that. But today the word of the Lord is overcome in the outbreak. Come on, overcome in the outbreak. You know, we're in a time in history that in our modern world that is unprecedented. Just the speed at which, you know, things have shut down and our world has responded, and just the level at which the entire world gripped in fear. Man, it's not, it's something that we haven't seen on this scale before. Our entire world reacting in panic to this outbreak. But I just believe that in the middle of an outbreak, that we can overcome. What God has put inside of us and what God has done for us hasn't changed because of COVID-19. Right? So in the middle of an outbreak, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a problem, in the middle of a situation, in the middle of a diagnosis, in the middle of panic, in the middle of worry, we can overcome. Because you have an overcoming spirit already on the inside of you. It began when Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave. He's won a victory over those things, and he's put that spirit inside of us. So he said, you are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. But when we break down what that word overcomer means, or that you are more than a conqueror, that means that there's going to be something you have to overcome. There's going to be something you have to defeat in order to be a conqueror, and then to go a step further and say you are more than a conqueror, right? So we understand that there's going to be issues. There's going to be problems in life. There's going to be outbreaks in the natural. There's going to be outbreaks in people's minds and fear, and that's what our world is grappling with right now. And I just believe it's time for the church to say, hey, you can overcome in the middle of an outbreak. So while the world is scrambling, trying to figure out how to stop it, while they're trying to figure out where to buy toilet paper, oh, praise him. You know, it's good. Some people are in panic. Some people are in denial. Some people, you know, are worried about the stock market and finances. And just every area of life seems to be shaken right now. We've received a kingdom inside of us that's unshakable. Come on. You have something inside of you that is built on a firm foundation. See, that's why it's so important when we talk about in the days ahead, what is your life founded on? That's why I'm so thankful. I was looking back and just, God, thank you for speaking prophetically to us through the church. Like, what is our lives founded upon? Like, if our lives are founded upon anything else other than God's word, man, then when things are shaking, it's gonna be shaken. But when our lives are founded and built upon the promises of God and what he's declared and what he said is true, man, then when those things come, we have sure footing. Our lives won't be shaken. That's why he says we've received a kingdom that is unshakable. Come on, somebody. So as a son and a daughter of God, you have not received a defeated spirit. You have not received a fearful spirit. You've been given a victorious, an overcoming spirit. You've not received an overwhelmed spirit. You've received an overcoming spirit. So we're going to overcome in these days ahead. You know, the thing about a virus or things like that, sickness, is that they can be contagious. That's what so many of our officials have been warning us about, you know, wash your hands, reduce contact with things, and that's all fine and good. And it's important that we are heeding those warnings, you know, wash your hands. We should be doing that anyways. Come on. But we're just going to be a little more aware of some things like that in these days and time because there's disease that can be contagious. It's passed from one person to another. In the same way, fear is contagious. It's passed from one person to another. Fear is contagious. But in the same way, come on, somebody. In the same way, the spirit of faith is contagious, and it can be passed from one person to another. Hope is contagious, and it can be passed from one person to another. So I believe that the spirit of faith that's inside of us is greater than in the spirit of fear. It's greater than the spirit of worry. It's greater than the spirit of panic. And so just because other people are worried, when I enter the room, the spirit of faith that's in me is able to dispel the spirit of faith that's in the world. Come on, how do we know this to be true? Scripture tells us that the love of God has been poured out, shed abroad in our hearts. It's abroad inside of you. That means it's covering all of you, the love of God inside of you. Another place in Scripture tells us the love of God, it drives out all fear. All right, so let's backtrack a little bit. So the love of God is driving out all fear. The love of God is poured out in us. That means it's overflowing out of us. So when I come into a space, when you come into a space, the love of God that's inside of you is driving out the fear that's there. Come on, somebody. It's time to stir up our faith. It's time to stir up our faith and actually put the tires to some tread, let them get some traction and realize like what God said is true. It's not some just nice things that we hope work out. No, the love of God is real. It's powerful. So when fear rushes in, what we've got to understand right off the bat, God has given us, we have three things in our possession that just right off are greater than the spirit of fear. You have the love of God. You have the power of God, and you have a sound mind. What does it say? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Praise God. Thank you, God. But he's given us power, love, and of a sound mind. So when fear rushes in, haven't we all felt that? We've seen it being played out. I don't know about y'all, but there were just moments in my life this week and decisions having to be made and what's it going to look like? What are things going to do? There are moments where like fear tries to put pressure. There's pressure that's applied, trying to get us to act in fear, trying to get us to think in fear, trying to get us to believe in fear. There's moments where there's pressure that's applied from a spirit of fear. And what we have to realize is that those who are going to overcome in days of fear, that in those moments are going to be those that are willing to stop and say, I'm not going to act in fear. I'm going to respond in faith. I know in my life, I had many opportunities this week to have that happening where I literally had to stop and say, no, I'm not going to respond in fear. I'm going to respond in faith. Why? Because if we want to overcome in an outbreak, we've got to respond in faith and not in fear. Right? So we have what it takes. God said he's given us everything that we need to live this life and to live it in a way that pleases him. So I'm not worried about if the market is up, the market is down. How many of y'all know in heaven, God is not sweating about Wall Street and the stock market? He's not worried about a recession or all those kinds of things. He said, you know what? I'm Jehovah Jireh, and I've seen ahead of COVID, and I've provided for you. All right. So we're like, what are we doing? We're just reorienting ourselves to faith. We're blocking, you know, like fear, you have no place in my life. I'm not going to give one inch to fear to allow it to then cause me to panic or be in a way of thinking. No, I'm going to stop in a moment and say, no, I have power, I have love, and I have a sound mind. That's what the sound mind is doing inside of you, is the ability to think clearly, the ability to not be let everything just overwhelm you in a moment, but to be able to like, no, that's not real. I have faith. Fear doesn't have to control my life. Sometimes we just have to remind ourselves what the truth is. And maybe you're in that place. It's okay if you're in that place, but just remind me. Let me remind you, it's okay to say, no, fear, I'm not going to be moved by you. I'm not going to let you tell me how to think, what to believe, and how to act. I'm going to act in faith. Come on, somebody. We're going to be people of faith. But our spiritual enemy does a couple things with fear, and I want to point a couple of these things out this morning just so that when we see these indicators happening in us and in those around us, that then that's those indicators to be like, whoa, stop this. Let me get faith in motion, right? It's a couple of things that fear tries to do, right? Our spiritual enemy, the devil, uses fear to cut us off from people. He wants to isolate us from faith. He wants to isolate us from God. The challenge is that when we're isolated, is that the struggle is real, right? And how many, you know, you can be in a room of people and still be isolated. So it goes way beyond, you know, not high-fiving and not hugging somebody's neck, or it goes way beyond that. The enemy wants to use fear to get people locked away. Can't tell anybody what's going on inside of me. No one knows. And when we're isolated, man, that is the place where the devil will come in and use it to get fear running wild in our mind, get us making decisions we never would have made because we're isolated and it's just us. No one knows the thoughts going on in our head, how we really feel, because we've isolated ourselves and it becomes a trap for us, right? So listen, don't let fear paralyze you in the days ahead. Fear is a paralyzer, but faith is an activator, okay? So in the days ahead, we don't know what it's going to be like or the time frames, but listen, don't let fear isolate you from your faith. Don't let fear isolate you from your church and your church family. Don't let fear isolate you from God. We're going to do what we can do. Everything's disinfected, all those kinds of things. But we're going to continue to meet and be the family of God. We're going to continue to build each other up in our faith. We're going to continue. Listen, you can get on your phone and text somebody right now and build them up in their faith. Come on. Even if they don't know Christ, what an opportunity we have. Come on. So we're going to use every opportunity. That's why we're doing in person and online, because people are looking right now. So I'm going to use whatever resource is available to share the gospel of Jesus. And I'm just so thankful to be surrounded by a bunch of people who believe in spreading the gospel in whatever means necessary. Come on. It says, let your light so shine. Let it be set on a hill. Don't hide it. So we're going to shine bright, baby. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to shine bright. Here's another thing fear wants to do. Fear wants to silence you. Fear wants to silence you. Let me say it this way. Fear wants to silence the Spirit of God inside of you. Because if fear can get you to stop speaking the word, if fear can get you to be quiet, if fear can get you to go along in a group of people with what everyone else is saying, come on, we've got to begin to hold on to our confession of faith. Yeah, Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who was promised is faithful. Oh, somebody's got to get, let me read this one more time. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. For he who promised is faithful. So fear wants to come in and get you to waver, to get you to silence, to get you to stop speaking and declaring what God's word says. But we know as we begin to speak, man, then it begins to build faith, right? How does faith come? It says faith comes by hearing the message about Christ, right? So if you need to build faith on the inside of you, guess what? You are the number one candidate in your life to build faith in your life. So you don't need to wait for Sunday. You can come on Sunday. You don't need to wait for the worship team to get up here to let faith build inside of you. Man, you can begin to speak it out of your mouth. You can speak it over your family, over your marriage, over your workplace. You can speak faith and build it up in yourself and in those around you. But fear wants to come in and silence us, get us to stop talking. It wants to get us to join in the doom and gloom and speaking. And yeah, I just don't know. What if they just close my work? And then how am I going to feed my family? You know, like we can join in with all that kind of stuff, or we can just begin to keep our declarations of our mouth, the words that we're speaking, in line with what God's word has said. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Like, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or starving, begging for bread. Come on, somebody. Like, this is a time to be strengthened in our faith. Fear wants to multiply confusion. So when you feel the confusion, what's going to happen? I just don't know. What's it going to be like? How long is this going to last? What if all this kind of stuff? Fear lives in the world of what ifs. It wants to multiply the confusion and run down the worst case scenario. Have y'all talked to anybody who's been down that road this week? The worst case scenario, and you know, everybody dies, and whatever else. The worst case scenarios that fear wants to get us to run into because of the confusion, creating hysteria and panic, people getting panic attacks, like fear. That's fear. That's the spirit of fear spreading confusion. So when you're in those situations, when you sense those confusing thoughts, I don't know what I'm supposed to do right now. Number one, like, we got to change our words. If we're constantly saying, I don't know what to do, you're probably not going to know what to do. Because the words that come out of our mouth are coming from our heart. I'm just saying what the Bible says is true. So in those places where there's confusion, speak up. Don't agree with it. Don't go along with it. Speak and declare the word. Here's a great practical way to rid confusion when you feel that confusion is just to begin to worship. Just begin to worship. Get on Spotify or YouTube or whatever. Put a worship song on and don't let them sing it. You sing it along. Lift up your hands. Sing it, because what's happening is that when you begin to worship, you're inviting the presence of God to flood in that place. You're entering into God's presence. And let me tell you, in God's presence, there's no confusion that can stand. Come on, somebody. Here's something else. Fear wants us to make us feel uncertain. When we don't know the specifics, it wants to get us to move in our feelings, to let our emotions, then when we feel uncertain, like, then it's the emotional side that then tries to kick in, and fear is trying to capitalize on those emotions of the uncertainty to get us to move in a direction. But you guys know our feelings are like yo-yos. They're up 1 minute and down 1 minute. And now I'm happy and now I'm sad. And now I feel hopeful, but then I feel like everything's going to fall apart. And now I feel hungry. And then I eat a cheeseburger and I feel better. And then I feel angry and then I feel happy. And then feelings just come and go, and it's changing all the time. And so it's crazy. But so often as people, we make decisions and base our life and our beliefs on feelings that are changing at the drop of a hat. That's why a life based on your feelings and your emotions is gonna be one that looks like that, up and down all the time. But in the middle of an outbreak, you can be steady. In the middle of an outbreak, you can be overcoming. Like, we can remain steady if we choose to put our trust in God and His Word instead of in our emotions. And just in those moments when the emotions feel crazy and unbalanced, just stop and say, Holy Spirit, Bring me the words of Jesus, because that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit in your life. It says that he will bring back to your mind the words that Jesus has spoken. So ask him, if you can't remember a scripture on peace or, you know, rest or what, like, just ask him, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me right now? Bring me the word. And he will. That's one of his jobs. Here's another thing. Fear wants to breed doubt. Right, some indicators that fear is trying to enter into the equation so that we can stop it in the moment. Fear wants to breed doubt, doubting God's faithfulness, doubting God's word, doubting that we're going to make it, doubting that it's going to be okay. Listen, we just read it. God's word is true, and the one who promised is faithful. Come on, he is faithful. So when we doubt, when we feel uncertain, let's just take a page from Vanilla, you know, I stop. Let's collaborate with the Holy Spirit and let's listen to what he has to say. Y'all thought he made that up. I know Milli Vanilli and all that, but he was more in tune with the word than anybody ever thought he was. In those moments when fear is trying to kick in, we got to just be bold enough, courageous enough to just put a stop to it and say, oh, hold up. Is this the spirit of fear or is this the spirit of faith moving on the inside of me, right? So, man, one thing that I do on a regular basis just to get myself in this mode, faith has got to become the default. As a church, as believers, we've got to shift out of this default fear. And now I've got to talk myself off the ledge and try to build up my faith. And I just, like, we've got to shift out of that default to faith is the default. Okay, let me just pastor you for a moment, right? We've got, like, the spirit of faith in us, the spirit of boldness in us has to become the default. The spirit of love has to become the default in us so that when these moments happen, when the outbreaks happen, when things hit, that we're already ready. Because we live that way every day. So one of the things that I do to keep myself in that default is that I just go ahead and I rehearse. I make a regular practice of rehearsing all that God has done, all the ways that God has been faithful. So sometimes I will sit in my office, then I'll just do nothing else, and I'll just begin to think of, okay, I was in this place and I was in lack, but God showed up. Here I needed health and God showed up and healed me. And I just begin to recount all the big and all the small. There was a day I felt alone and somebody texted me and spoke to the very thing that I was struggling with, that I had just prayed about. God spoke this word to me. I'll just go and I'll just begin to recount all the practical, every just single moment. And then what happens is then I'll begin to just, a lot of times I'll write those things down. I'll put them in my phone. Why? So that I can come back to those. I can rehearse those and say, okay, God, you were faithful for me here. You were faithful for me there. You showed up there. It looked like I wasn't going to make it, but I made it. And I'm still here. I'm alive and kicking. And I didn't know how this was going to work out, but God, you brought all the pieces together. And so then I can just begin to rehearse it. What am I doing? I'm beginning to remind myself how great God is, how faithful that he is, that he's never let me down. He's never left me. It's just like the song says, I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe I'll see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. Yeah, we're just reminding ourselves that he's going to do it again. He hasn't left us. He hasn't changed, but he is going to move on our behalf. Come on, I'm trying to build faith inside of you today. So when fear comes and wants to get us to doubt God, will God, could God, oh, I don't know if God could, the answer is yes. All of God's promises are yes for you. There's yes for you. But fear wants to get us to doubt, wants to doubt God's faithfulness. And as I thought about this, I thought about the weather app on our smartphones. You know, all of us, most of us have a smartphone, and on there we have a weather app. And it's so cool because we can get on there and we can find out what the temperature is going to be today. What time is it going to rain? What's it going to be like 10 days from now? Or what's it like in another city around the world or wherever else? The weather app is, you know, we want to know how to dress for work that day, what it's going to be like. What do we do? Check the weather. Get the weather app out. Find out what it's going to be like. And it's so interesting that so many of us trust the weather app without question, right? I mean, I checked it this morning. That's why I'm wearing T-shirt today, you know. When it's not going to rain for a couple days. We got some heat coming. Praise the Lord. You know, we get on there. We check the weather app because it's a trusted source for us in our lives. We don't question it. But I dare say that most of us don't know the source where the weather information is coming from. I mean, I used to be a developer in programming and all that stuff, and I can tell you, even in that field, I don't know what server the weather data is coming from or who put it on the server. I don't know anything about it or its reliability. I never checked the reliability of it. I just see what it is right now, and I take its word for it. But then we start talking about God and his word. We start talking about God and his faithfulness and could God and would God, and then people are all of a sudden like, well, I don't know. And those are just the Christians, the people who have seen God move, and God has provided, and God has healed, and God has been there, and God has delivered, and God has redeemed. And then we're like, well, I don't know if God could. Listen, God can and God will if we're willing to believe, if we're willing to stand in faith. His word is true, so we don't have to question the source. We know the source. We've seen him move, and so we can have confidence to know that when he says he will do something, he will do it. That when he said, I will protect you and I will keep pestilence from you, that his word is true. Come on, I'm preaching good this morning. So we know the faithfulness of God. We can trust his word. So if fear is trying to cause all these things inside of us, let me ask us this question today. What is stirring fear in you? It's a good question. What is stirring fear in you? You know, a lot of people right now, Facebook is stirring fear in them. The news reports are stirring fear in them. Let me just help us real practically for a minute. Can I do that? So if the news reports are stirring fear in you, don't leave it on all day. It's important to get the information, to get the updates. Get the information, get the updates, but then turn it off. If Facebook and everyone's comments and reposts are stirring fear inside of you, causing you to doubt, you know what? It's okay for you not to be on Facebook. I know somebody's like, what would I do then? Some board games. You got a family that are interested in getting to know you. Pick up a new skill. Learn how to cook. Learn how to speak Spanish or something. You know what I'm saying? What is stirring fear in you? And if it's stirring fear in you, it's okay to say, I don't need that in my life because I want faith to be stirred in me. If fear can be stirred in my life, the spirit of faith can be stirred in your life as well. So when fear wants to rush in and put pressure on us, I'm just going to turn up the volume of faith. I'm going to stir faith in me. I'm going to get my praise on. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to begin to speak with my mouth. You know, really, in our day and time, we have no excuse. We have more access to more of the word, to more worship, to more teaching than ever in history. You can be at anywhere just about on the face of this earth and in the palm of your hand have access to the same teaching on like 18 platforms. So we have no excuse not to build faith in us. Get some praise and worship music on. Put it on in your home. Get a podcast going. Get it on YouTube and get a video teaching. You know, you can get the YouVersion Bible app and it will read the Bible to you in many languages. And then people are like, oh, I'm just so afraid. I don't know what to do about it. God has given us the answer. It's right here, but it's just for those that want to overcome in the outbreak of fear and anxiety is going to be those that are willing to put a stop to fear and say, I'm going to turn up the volume of faith and the word in my life. Right? And in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, King Solomon, they've just finished building the temple there in Jerusalem. They've just had a big celebration dedicating the temple to the Lord and saying, Lord, we'll follow you, and this is the place. This will be the Lord's house. And the Lord actually answers them, speaks to the people, and gives them an answer. I believe in the Lord's answer, he gives them a pattern for causing the Lord to turn his face back towards them, because they're saying, Lord, we'll worship you forever. And God is saying, okay, but if you turn from me, like, there's consequences. But if that happens, and God, we know because we can read the history that they did, but he gives us a pattern for causing the Lord's favor and the face to shine on us. And I believe that we can apply this today to our world. We can apply this pattern to our homes, to our marriages, and we'll see God moving in great ways. Verse 14, he says, if my people. Notice, yeah, that big word if right there. Like, God is saying, maybe my people will. Maybe they won't, but if my people who are called by my name, that's you and me. Did you know you were called God's sons and daughters? He's calling us by his name. We've been brought into his family. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. I want to pull a couple keys real quick here to help us overcome in the outbreak. If we're going to have this overcoming spirit in the outbreak, there's a couple keys I believe in the scripture. The first one is this, is to live in humility. That's where it starts. Living in this place of humility, getting rid of pride, getting rid of arrogance and whatever else, to live in a lifestyle of humility, saying, God, you are greater. God, you are greater than me. You are in control. I'm not in control. See, what we need to understand about humility is that humility is not putting ourselves down or thinking that we're not good or whatever else. It's not thinking of ourselves in a bad way. It's just realizing that we're not number one. That everything is not about us, that the universe and the world doesn't revolve around us. That's a spirit of selfishness. That's false humility, right? So we recognize that when we're in a spirit of humility that, like, God is greater, like, my life isn't all about me. I can live in a place where everything isn't about me. It means that I don't have to be right all the time. Yeah, and that's a great place to be, because I don't have to be right. God is the one who's got it all right. Even in my relationships, in my marriage, I don't have to be right all the time. Somebody needs to write that down this morning. Don't elbow your spouse right now and tell them to write it down. Just you write it down. Oh, praise him. That means we don't have to, you know, agree with everyone. You know, people get into politics and all opinions on Facebook and all this stuff, and we think that we have to agree on 100% of the issues. No, we don't. Like, we can agree on this. Amen. And so humility says, I don't have to agree with you to show you love and respect and honor. Amen. Come on. It means that humility, when we adopt a spirit of humility in our life, what it does is it will rid us of the infection of pride and selfishness. Proverbs 11, verse 2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So if you need some more wisdom in your life, you're like, I don't know what to do right now. Like, that's an indicator that we need some more humility in our lives. We need got some pride, some arrogance in some areas, maybe a haughty spirit. And it's time for us to say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me deal with this pride in my life. Here's the next one. If we're going to develop an overcoming spirit in an outbreak, is we need to develop a lifestyle of prayer. Develop a lifestyle of prayer. In Ephesians, it says, pray without ceasing. Now, I don't believe that means that we can't talk about the big game or, you know, things we like to do. But what that is telling us is that we can live a lifestyle of prayer, because prayer is communication with our Heavenly Father. It's us talking to Him and then us zipping it and listening to Him, right? There's prayer that's going on. So I can be in the middle of something and pray. I have been in conversations before where I haven't known the answer or the response that is needed and just said, Lord, what do you want me to say? How do you want me to respond? It's a lifestyle of prayer. It's recognizing that prayer is not my last resort. Well, we tried everything else. We might as well pray. Well, what a terrible place to be. You know, like, no, prayer is my first response. It's not the last thing I come to. It's the place where I begin, the place where I find myself in the middle and at the end, is in this lifestyle of prayer. It's just involving God in every aspect of my day, when I'm at work, when I'm going into a meeting, when I'm at lunch. So prayer is not just for meals and bedtime. Prayer is all day long. It's a lifestyle of prayer. It's a relational language that God has given us to stay in touch with Him. So if you're married, I'm married, and for those of that are, if the only time I was to talk to Heather, my wife, was for 60 minutes on a Sunday morning, marriage probably isn't gonna be that good. And so often that's how we treat God, is that, well, I'll squeeze you in here for this, but God just wants to be in constant relationship with us. Let me show you in scripture, Psalms 27. Verse 7, it says, hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer to me. My heart has heard you say, come talk with me. That's the cry of your Father, your Heavenly Father. Come talk with me. I want to talk with you. What's going on in your day? What are you struggling? What's been going on with you? Like, we can have this communication and listen to how the psalmist responds, and my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. Do you hear it in there? Like, it's not like a rigid thing, like you better or you ought to. Like, no, it's a relational thing that our Heavenly Father wants to commune with us and talk with us. One of my favorite pictures in the scripture is at the very beginning in Genesis. One of the first interactions we see with God and man is that it says that God walked in the garden with Adam in the cool of the day. I love that. That's one of the things when I get to heaven, I'll be like, God, can we go walk in the cool of the day? Like, doesn't that just sound awesome? I mean, so cool that he walked with Adam in the cool of the day. You know, and that's the God we serve. That's our Heavenly Father. And he wants to communicate with us. And it's developing this lifestyle of prayer. Here's the last one. We're going to overcome in the outbreak. We've got to turn from some of our ways. So often we're more concerned with the outbreak of a virus or a disease, and where everyone's all focused on washing their hands and all these things. And those are all good things. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. We need to do those things. But so often people are more concerned about those kind of outbreaks on the natural that can infect these physical bodies than they are with things that are infecting the real us. Right? The real you is your spirit. Okay, you are a three-part being. You are a spirit. That's the part of you that when this physical body dies will continue on into eternity, either with God in heaven or separated from him in hell. So you are a spirit. You have a soul. That's your mind, your emotions, and you live in a physical body. So you're a three-part being. But so often we're more concerned with what infects this natural physical body than we are with what's infecting our spirit, the real us. And consequently, then so many people are infected with things that are robbing them of peace, robbing them of power, robbing them of joy, robbing them of purpose, robbing them of passion, robbing them of faith, robbing them because they've allowed things in their lives that are causing an infection in their spirit, and they're willing to maintain those things or try to medicate those things or escape from those things because they don't want to deal with those root issues, that if we would just deal with some things and turn from them, that then it would rid us of those infections in our spirit. I love the language that the scripture gives us there is turn from our ways, right? So it's like if I'm turning, like I'm literally facing one direction and something is coming at me and I can see it and I'm taking the full brunt of it. But when I turn from something, now I'm facing a completely different direction. What was in my face before is no longer in my face. I'm able then to receive something different in my view. And that's the picture he's given us, is that we've got to turn from some things. And I believe that God is bringing the church into this season, into a season of purification. Just like we're seeing in the natural realm, that God is calling his church to this kind of season to purify some things, to wash our hands of some things that we've allowed, that we've maintained. It's not that bad. I can kind of keep it at a pseudo distance and not affect me that badly. It's okay. And God is saying, hey, it's time for us as a church to purify our hearts, to purify our minds, to wash our hands from some things, to turn from some things that have crept in. And just sometimes it's those little things that creep in. In Song of Solomon chapter 2, it says it's the little foxes, the little things that spoil the vine. It's the little things that we allow to creep in, the little thoughts, the thoughts where we buy into just a little bit of a worldly twisted mentality. I don't want to seem too radical, so I'll back off here. I'll back off the truth just a little bit, but a little bit of a lie is all a lie. And God is calling his church back to purification, to turn from some things, to get some things out that we've allowed in. And truthfully, I believe many people want the cure. We see it in the natural world with the coronavirus. People want the cure. They want the vaccination. Anytime people face a life-threatening disease, what do? They take drastic measures to make changes, to take medicines or to do things. People struggling with depression take pills. Like, people want freedom. people want the cure from things. And so often, same thing in our spiritual life. And some people don't even know it's their spiritual life. They want to be free of depression. They want to be free of despair. They want joy. They want peace. You know, we don't want greed. We want to be generous because that's how we're made. We want to be free of some things, but what so often is we don't want the disruption of our lives, of our convenience and our comfort. Man, I'm right there along with anybody else. I'm going to miss March Madness basketball tournament, and I'm going to miss, you know, those things that are being disrupted in our lives. I'm going to miss not having to plan out when and where to buy toilet paper. There's a disruption of our lives that's taking place, and most people would agree we don't want that disruption. But if we want to be free of the virus, we want to rid our society, our culture, our homes, our churches, our marriages of things that are trying to infect us, then we need some disruption in our lives. It's not business as usual. Let me say it this way. So if fear is being stirred inside of you, then maybe it's time to stop watching the scary movies. If fear is being stirred on, if lust is being stirred up inside of you, and like this desire to buy into this mentality of it's okay to live with someone you're not married to, and you know, no one's getting hurt, or to look at images on a screen or whatever else, then maybe it's time to stop listening to some songs and watching some things that are pushing those things on us. It's time to disrupt some things in our lives that have tried to infect our spirits, have tried to infect our families and our kids, and get back to the place and say, God, I'm turning to you. I'm turning from some things, and I'm saying, God, none of that is important, because I don't want anything to keep me from what you have for me. I want more of you, God. God, I want you to fill me in this place, and I'm willing to set anything else aside that would try to get in the way. So just all over the room today, can we just jump to our feet in this place and just begin to invite the Holy Spirit into your life? Just begin to ask Him to shine a light in your heart. Say, God, where have I allowed some things to come in and infect my life or my thinking? Where have I allowed some things in my spirit? Maybe for you it's pride. Maybe it's arrogance or just haughty. Like, I can do this. I don't need that. Maybe for you, fear has been stirred inside of you. But today, man, something else is being stirred up inside of you. I believe that faith is being stirred up inside of you, even in these moments right now, as the word has been declared and read aloud today, that faith is being stirred. And you say, I'm tired of allowing fear to bully me around in my life, and I'm going to get rid of some fear in my life. Maybe for you, it's some things that you've been taking in, fear, in your life. Maybe it's some mentalities that you've bought into, some lies of the enemy. And whatever it is today, you're saying, I got some things in my life I need to turn from. I want to be free from these things, and I'm willing to upset convenience and comfort, because God, I want you more than anything else. So Lord, I thank you that right now you're moving in this place. If that's you in this house, you're saying, hey, that's me today. You're talking to me, Pastor. Just right where you are, lift your hands up all over this room, right where your seat man's hands, all over. Lord, I thank you for pouring your spirit out, Lord God, that just like you said, that when we humble ourselves and when we pray and seek your face and turn from our ways, Lord God, that you would hear from heaven, that you would pour your spirit out and you would heal our land. So Lord, I thank you that even right now, your healing is flowing in this place, healing flowing to hearts where we've been broken, where we've been discouraged, where we've been crushed, where we've been perplexed, Lord God, that I thank you right now you're restoring, that you're healing, that you're mending. Lord God, I thank you that in our minds right now, where fear has had a grip, in the name of Jesus, I declare you are free from that fear in Jesus' name. Fear, spirit of fear, worry, panic, you have to leave right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, that grip is being loosened right now, and faith is taking hold. Faith is taking root and growing and producing in our lives right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you for freedom. Freedom in the hearts and minds of your people. It's a new day. It's a new day. You have strength inside of you. You have the power of God inside of you. You have the love of God inside of you. You have a sound and a clear mind in Jesus' name.